Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Governments around the world are trying to reduce the amount of planet-warming pollution in the atmosphere, and that means many are now taking a closer look at nuclear power. That includes the United States. Here's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm in September.
The UN's IPCC report was clear. We are at code red for humanity, and we know that the continued deployment of nuclear energy is essential to confronting climate change.
That support doesn't mean the path ahead will be easy for a technology that has been troubled by cost overruns and safety concerns since its inception. Let's continue our energy series with Matthew Bunn. He's an expert on nuclear energy at Harvard University. Professor, welcome.
Nice to be here.
And let's just start with the lay of the land here. The United States gets about 20% of its electricity from nuclear power plants. Has that changed much over the past decade or so?
Not very much. A few nuclear plants have been shutting down because they've been having trouble competing in markets with cheap natural gas and subsidized renewables. But we still have about 20% of our electricity coming from nuclear energy, as the Secretary said, partly because there's been some expansions in output at some of the remaining plants.
There's a new plan for a smaller nuclear plant that the Department of Energy is really touting here. It's in a town called Kemmer, Wyoming. The plan is to replace a coal plant with this smaller nuclear power plant. What do we need to know about some of the innovations that we could see there?
Well, I think there are reasons both to be optimistic and to be pessimistic about nuclear innovation. On the optimistic side, we have more advanced materials, and in particular, we have much better computer simulations than we had before. On the pessimistic side, the reality is that nobody has managed to commercially successfully develop a really new type of reactor for more than half a century.
And I understand the federal government is behind some of these projects, like the one in Wyoming. In fact, there was $2.5 billion for it in the infrastructure bill that just became law.
That's right. So Congress has been fairly supportive of developing new nuclear energy options, both for use in the United States and for export. But they have now an advanced reactor demonstration program where the federal government and private companies will split the cost of building the first demonstration plant for a couple of the new nuclear energy technologies to see, can you really make a commercially viable, safe plant of that kind? Some of the claims that nuclear energy is going to grow like gangbusters need to be taken with a grain of salt. There are a lot of obstacles that have constrained nuclear energy's growth in the past.
Primarily? That it's very expensive, it's hard to permit, that sort of thing?
Well, those are two of the biggest ones. Finding a site where someone will give you the public acceptance and the license to build, and convincing someone that it is the most cost-effective energy source available are two very difficult challenges for nuclear energy.
One of the advantages that advocates of these smaller nuclear plants are saying is that it may be cheaper or perhaps more affordable or easier to permit because they aren't so large. What do you think about that?
The idea is that although you'll lose some of the economies of scale that have driven the nuclear industry to build the really big nuclear power plants, you'll make that up by economies of manufacturing scale, making a lot of them. Now, that, of course, requires getting a lot of contracts. And right now, that isn't where we are. But we're at the stage where a few companies are starting to move toward building a first demonstration plant. The one in Wyoming you mentioned, the NuScale plant in Idaho. And there are, of course, efforts in other countries as well.
One of the things we haven't talked about yet, really, is the question of safety. Of course, the Fukushima meltdown in 2011 destroyed an entire community in Japan. And it's still very hard in this country to find a place to put the waste. Do you think nuclear power will ever get over that problem?
People have very genuine concerns about safety, and that concern was highlighted by the disaster at Fukushima in Japan in 2011. People have legitimate concerns about security. The reality is that nuclear energy was born with nuclear weapons, and people have that connection in their mind. The good news is there is an international consensus that deep geologic disposal, deep underground, is a safe way to dispose of nuclear waste. And in both Finland and Sweden, they have managed to site nuclear waste repositories with the complete support of the local communities. We haven't managed to do that in the United States yet. And as a result, the spent nuclear fuel from nuclear power plants is sitting in big casks at the plants, and some of it in swimming pools inside the plant.
So all that being said, what role do you think this form of energy will realistically play in a clean energy future? In other words, do you think it might someday make up more than 20% of our energy portfolio in this country?
I think nuclear energy is not likely to be the answer to climate change. But I do think it's at least possible that it could grow enough to be an important backup to intermittent renewables in a future clean energy grid. And I think given how difficult and challenging the climate crisis is, that we should be doing everything we can to address the obstacles and risks that have so far limited nuclear energy's growth so that it could be an expandable option for coping with climate change.
Matthew Bunn is a professor at Harvard University and an expert on nuclear power. Thank you so much for your insights. I appreciate it.
Thank you.